I'm glad to be here. I'm glad you're here. I want the Lord to be here. I feel like the Lord woke me up this morning and asked me to share something with you. And if I had my rathers, I would rather sit and listen, but I have been so blessed with what I want to share with you that I didn't want to say no to the Lord. So I hope that it will be a blessing to you. I want to turn to Lamentations chapter 3. In verse 21, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. There's another translation that I really like also. It says, the steadfast love of the Lord never changes. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I want to speak this morning to you about the simple concept of living day by day. I've desired to know how the Lord wanted me to live, and we have many responsibilities and cares. And at times, the load seems so great. You ever feel like that? And this fall, I met some things that were disappointing and heavy to me. The Lord was real precious to me, but I felt so weak in body and mind to face what I needed to face. And the Lord so gently gave me these thoughts about living day by day. And I want to tell you, it has transformed my life. And I hope it will, somebody today, it would be so wonderful if somebody would say, you know, I really got a hold of that. The thought here is that there is something new for you in your experience every morning. There is something new from God for you every day. His mercies, his compassions, they are brand new. They're not left over. They're not the bottom of the bucket. They're not wrung out, twisted out. They're new. They're not somebody else's. They're yours personally for this day that you have to live. New, brand new grace and mercy. Totally sufficient. You don't have to pray, Lord, help your grace to be sufficient for me today. Just take him at his promise. There is new grace, there is new mercy that is with me, that is for me, for this day, and it is sufficient. My grace is sufficient for you. You don't have to pray for it to be. You don't have to hope that it is. It is sufficient for you today. And it's new this morning. It was brand new for you when you woke up. Why does it need to be that way? Matthew chapter 5, Jesus shared with us here the admonition that we should not worry and be anxious about. Matthew chapter 6. We should not worry and be anxious about tomorrow. And Jesus said, down here, and I want to read verse 32, or 33 and 34, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." The reason why you have new grace this morning is because there is an allotted amount of evil or bad or ill or heart sick, or heart ache or sorrow or grief or pain or responsibility or care. You have that for this one day. There is enough of that for you in this one day. There is not too much for you in this day. And Jesus promised this. Sufficient unto the day. You only have to face the heartache and the grief and the disappointment and the sorrow and the responsibility of your life. You only have to face today. You don't have to deal with anything more than this one day. Isn't that wonderful? You say, now let's be real. I'm being just as real as the Word of God. You actually have only one day to face what you have to face. You don't have to deal with what you faced yesterday. If you will keep a maintenance of what we're speaking of today, of dealing with it just one day at a time, when you deal with today as the Lord would have you to, with the new grace that he's given you to deal with the new sufficient trials for this day, when you deal with it in that way, then when that day is over and it's aside and it's in tomorrow, it's in yesterday, it's dealt with. It's covered. It's taken care of. You lived it. It's back there. And then you have this one day, and every day you face like that, putting into the yesterdays of your life, it's not a big old chunk and a load that you have to bear of yesterdays that I goofed and that I misused and that I have regrets, thank you, about it. I don't have to deal with all of that. Listen, I know what I'm speaking about. Dealing with that load of yesterdays that were not taken care of, a day that was just blown, a day that was too much for me that I did not handle, I know what that is. You can't handle it. You just can't deal with it. But if we'll take every new day and deal with it and face it with the new grace that's given to us, and then it goes into pass, it'll be as the song we sing, "When the evening is coming and I look o'er the past." How does it say? What assurance in knowing I've triumphed at last. There's no evil foreboding. Why? I've lived this day, this one day, and it's taken care of, and it's done, and now I can lay down, and it can be as the song again that we had, number 183, something, 180, anyway, I lay, well, with God's assurance on my breast, my body sinks to rest. Thank you. What number is that? With God's approval. Well, thank you so much. We need each other. My body sinks to rest. No doubts nor waves of trouble roll across my peaceful breast. And through the night, that hand so mild protects from storms and billows wild his helpless, trusting, loving child without spot and blameless. We can only do this one day at a time. Jesus said, that's why we don't need to worry. And I've found this to be true. I have dealt with worry and fear in a very real way. My future has at times seemed so insecure and so black. But the Lord has helped me to just live one day at a time. And the reason why He showed me this is that He will not give me grace to deal with my future. And so when I try to deal with the future, there is no peace, there is no joy, there's no grace. No, grace is the ease and something that's given to you to do something that you could not do yourself. That's what grace is. It's enablement. It's doing something with ease where you, without it, you would grind along, clunk along. Well, when we try to deal with future problems and difficulties and we try to work them out and fix them, there is no grace, there's no wisdom, there's nothing to deal with the future. God didn't promise us any. And when that finally sunk into my thick head, that I didn't have any grace to deal with whatever was going to happen in the future, I only had grace for today, that it made so much sense to me. Why He said, don't try to carry that load. You can't carry that load. You're unable to carry the load of future living. You know, and I believe this gets some people in their spiritual life. They try to live, when they come down to the altar, they're thinking about 10 years from now. I don't know if I can handle this. You don't know what I have to face when I go home. And all the Lord wants you to do is give your life to Him, and He will give you grace to face one day at a time. We can't live the Christian life in chunks and big bunches and years. You can't live it from camp meeting to camp meeting. You just can't do it. You can't say, I'm going to take this year and live it. You just can't do that. You don't have grace to deal with that. You can live today. I can guarantee you grace sufficient for your today. But you've got to wait till you have to be today. You have to live in your today. I think that really gets people is when they try to face. Let's say that you're living in a way that you know you should not be living, but this is your life. You're used to living this way. How do you make the big transformation that you know, not just the saints, not just mom and dad, you know the Lord would want you to make if you were to come and be saved? Has it ever just loomed like a big mountain to you and you thought, how could I ever make that change? I know people who face those thoughts. They really, really would like to live for the Lord. They would love to live this way, but it's a mountain to them. How could I ever do this? Little things like, it'll take years for my hair to grow. You know, stuff like that. I mean, they just like, I can't do this. What if my child gets sick? You know, we face those things at the altar. When people come, they say, I don't know if I could do it like you think I ought to do this. We're not obligating you to do it like we think you ought to do it at all. All we want you to do is completely, totally give yourself to the Lord. And He will take care of you. He will carry you through. You just take one day at a time and you live that day. Can I pick on you, Sister Joyce? When Sister Joyce got saved, she was one of those that had tried it before. I hope you don't mind me saying that. But I remember her coming to Mom and Dad and and crying and praying and getting saved. And 2 weeks later, I can't do this. Bye. I don't want to do this. It was too big, but you got a hold of something. It must have been something like this. Well, you just began just one day at a time. You dealt with the footsteps that you had to make that day. You didn't, and it's been how many years? 7, 8? Thank the Lord. See, but she didn't attempt that to be where she is today. She did not attempt that when she came down to this altar. She just gave her life to the Lord. And God just began to, He just leads you gently. I mean, He doesn't like zoom you through the air and here you are and you've got to face losing your companion or whatever. You just walk with Him and you just take Him one day at a time. It's so much easier to think about it this way. You just don't know what this has done for me. This has lifted such a big load for me that, I mean, I don't want anybody ever to say, oh, you poor thing, you know, how do you get everything done? I'll tell you how I get everything done. It's this. It's just like this. There's only one day that I have to live. And the Lord's just helped me so much. There is just enough evil in this one day to deal with it. And the Lord won't give you too much. He will not give you more in this one day to deal with. You say, oh yeah, but tomorrow. But you can't deal with tomorrow. You don't have grace to deal with tomorrow. You just have grace for today. And He promised there in Deuteronomy 32, I believe it is. Deuteronomy 32 and 25, He promised this: thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Remember, He's promised new strength and new grace every morning. And as your day, that's how much strength that you'll have. And God knows. God knows what you're going to have today. Proverbs 27:1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. James tells us, go to now, ye that say, tomorrow we'll go and we'll do this and we'll do that. He said, you need to always say, if the Lord will. See, the Lord holds your day in His hand. And you can just count on it that you will have enough strength to deal with this day. I've seen it happen. I've seen when we get up in the morning, the body is weak, there's pain, and the thought is, I've got so much to do. What can I do? How am I going to do this? And I've seen at the end of the day, we look at each other and we say, the Lord helped us this one day. We were able to, how you doing? You know, I feel better now than I did. You know, it's just the Lord's blessing. He just blesses us for this day. He gives you enough strength for the day. Maybe you didn't anticipate. Maybe you had plans for the day. They got all turned around. You ever have days like that? Well, we're going to do this. We're going to have breakfast, and we're going to do schoolwork, and then we're going to have lunch, and then we're going to clean up the yard, and then we're going to have supper. And now this is kind of like our day, sort of. And somebody calls, and they talk for a long time, and the schoolwork doesn't get done. Now this is just one of my days. So we had lunch, and then maybe, well, we need to go and do this, and we need to go and do this, and we need to go and do this. Okay. Well, I was planning on, but you know, flexibility is the key. You just kind of, my husband says, you roll with punches. And you just learn to just All right. Like some people say, amen. Just, okay, whatever. And the Lord can give you strength to deal. I've had times where I would not have anticipated in my wildest dreams meeting on that day what I met on that day. But God knows, and He gives, and when you meet it, you weren't anticipating, you meet it. Some people call it adrenaline, but if you're trusting Jesus, it's more than that. It is something from heaven. It's strength, it's vitality, it's some vigor you did not have, you do not possess anywhere in your adrenaline. But he blesses you. It's God's blessing. Now, I want to speak to you about how to make this happen. This is not an idea. This has to be a reality. Jesus, let's see. First of all, let's look at Hebrews chapter 4. Now, we're speaking about grace, and we're speaking about strength and mercy that's new in the morning. Well, this scripture tells us where we get that. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace." There is a place where this issues from. You don't get it by thinking about it. You don't get it by saying, "It's here, it's here, it's here, it's here," chanting or something. You don't get it like that. You get it by coming to the source. You get it by coming to the source, and since you need that source to meet Him from moment one when you wake up, you need to do this as early as you possibly can. Now, I remember as a young mother how my life was disrupted. Instead of waking to quietness and this time, I woke to a baby's cry. Well, Lord, what do I do now? I am used to my first thought being of the Lord. Right now, my first thought is that baby. I didn't know how to do all this. And my life kind of got changed around for a while. And you had to find a quiet time when you had a quiet time. And I understand that with babies and children. You know, my children aren't babies anymore. And the Lord's dealing with me differently now. You have a morning time. You have a quiet time. You need to take that. We think of the illustration in the book. Shepherd looks at the 23rd Psalm, where the shepherd takes his sheep in the morning because there is only moisture on that grass that sheep so needs, only in the morning. It's not there noon. It's not there at 4 o'clock. It's only in the morning. This has helped me. It has provided an inner motivation. And this is what we need for daily maintenance. You need it more than making this a habit or a ritual. You need an inner motivation. You need a deep-seated knowledge that I am going to dry up and die. I will not make it today. Well, I might exist. I might clunk along. But who wants to clunk along? I don't want days like that. I want to be able to have grace. I need it. I need to seek it at the source. And I need to seek it as early as I can. Because, if I wait, I'm going to face something at 8:30 that if I waited to try to get all this grace at noon, what am I going to do before noon, you see? We need to make contact with the Lord as early as we can. As you get older, you find waking times in the early morning hours, don't you? Whether it be indigestion or just a habit of something, you know, you're waking up, that is the time. That is the time. Don't try to go back to sleep. Lay your burdens at the feet of Jesus. And you can maybe, after praying for a while, you can go back and get 30 minutes or an hour of such sweet, relaxed rest, possibly. Or it may be that your waking time, that's it for you. You will not go back to sleep. Whatever it be for you, you need to seek the Lord. You need to have this inner motivation. I will not have grace unless I come and seek for it. And if I do not have grace for this day, and I think about, well, yesterday I had grace. It's all gone. It was yesterday's. There is only grace new every morning. Sometimes we say, I'll go on yesterday's grace. It won't happen. You didn't have, when you were in yesterday and it was your today, you did not say, Lord, help me this for this day and for tomorrow. See, you don't have grace for tomorrow. So when you get into tomorrow, you need new grace that day. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We're living in the days of Noah, but Noah found grace. And that word found means he sought for and obtained grace to live with the world that he had to live in. And we can too. We can too. Noah found it. We can find it. And we don't have to think, well, where is it? It's at this place right here, the throne. The place, that's where it issues forth. It's flowing out of there. It's available for you. One time I read something, I think Amy Carmichael wrote this, that as soon as the barriers are taken away, the presence and the power of God is so eager to flow in that it will come in. You just only need to remove the barriers. Stop the withdrawing. Come boldly. When we feel like we've goofed, the tendency is to withdraw and to close up and to run and to hide and not look up. But we don't want to do that. We want, when we feel that we need more grace, and the scripture says, and I remember Brother Chuck telling us so many times, he giveth more grace. It is available. He giveth more grace. He gives it to the humble. That's one thing that we need to remember too. I may not be able to read all of these scriptures, but you can be reminded of them as the Lord blesses you this day. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I found that taking care of this as we should, then whenever I have the emergency situation, that it's there. He's there. Amen. And if I had not taken this time, there would be a groping. There would be I would have to preface my prayers with, Lord, I know I haven't been faithful to you, but I need it right now. You can't do that. You don't want to have to do that. You want to just say, oh, God, help me now. Lord, have mercy right now. And know that He's there. And count on it that He's there. You need to live so that when you have that time, you can know, I've got a refuge I can hide in right now. He's a very present help in time of trouble. But we need to keep our day up with the Lord. I think about how that Jesus, in John chapter 6, Jesus showed us how He wanted us to live. And He spoke to the people, and He compared His life as being the fulfillment of the manna that fell. And to take you just back to the thought of manna, doesn't this make you think of daily? When you think of manna, it was a daily thing. You could not get 2 days' worth of manna. You couldn't do it only on the Sabbath. That's a totally different subject altogether. But to deal with every day, you had to go and you had to gather your manna every day. Every morning it was with the dew there. As the dew lay out, the manna was there. Jesus said in verse 32 of John 6, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Then said they unto him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread. Give us a big chunk of it so that we can eat, and then that will be it." You know, that's what some people would like salvation to be. I get a big dose and it lasts me all year. It's not that way. Jesus said, "I am that bread of life." He operates and he blesses you just as the manna, just in that same concept. He does. He says here now in verse 49, your fathers, 48, "I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die." Just once and that's it? No. You have to eat of it and eat of it and keep eating of it. And Jesus, here these people, they were doing this to him as they were here, and they said, "Wait a minute, we don't." And if they could have just weighed this all out, thought about what he was saying, they wouldn't have walked away from him. And this, it says, they strove among themselves. Well, let's read here. 51, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." So Jesus' very own life is the bread. That the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus gave himself for us to be that bread. So there must be a way that you can partake of his very life. And it will be then your life. It will be what sustains you. It will be what gives you strength. And I have found not only spiritual strength, but emotional strength, stamina, the ability to bear up, the ability to take things, physical strength. When I am weak, then am I strong. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. See, this is what the Lord becomes to us. His very life. How do you get that? And Jesus helped us to see here. In verse 53, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." Now, Lord, what are you talking about? What are you saying? Please help us to get the message. And he says here in verse, this is what helped me to see what he was speaking of. In verse 57, he taught and he told us how he lived. And this is what it is. "As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father." How was it that Jesus lived by his Father? Did he eat his Father literally? No. That's not making sense, does it? No. He communed with his Father. He was with his Father. Sometimes I just imagine he knew, or his Father would communicate with him, "Your day ahead of you, Jesus, is going to be filled. There is so much power that you need to deal with the lepers and the demon-possessed and the blind and the troubled. And they're going to put questions to your mind today. And I want to infill you and indwell you and empower you." His Father, Jesus, didn't do all this on his own. He didn't do it by doing so many outward things and then I'm all right, I'm out here. No. Sometimes Jesus spent all night in prayer. Why? The demands on him were so great. He needed that much power. Is this challenge you? This challenges me. He says, as the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. So see, coming right back to, you spend time at the source. You partake of him. You use that word partake in the place of the word eat. It's a process, a spiritual process of taking in to your life, his very essence, the good that's in him, the righteousness, the holiness, the purity. You spend time with him. He prints his image upon you. He becomes you. This is the essence of Christianity. This is what some people try to grasp. And they try to do it through outward things. And you cannot do it that way. You must have the very life of Jesus to be your strength to handle life. You'll clunk along. You won't handle it. But he'll be your spiritual strength. His life will begin to flow through you as you eat food literally. You know, it becomes you. You are what you eat. You really are. And it becomes part of you. And as you partake of Jesus, he becomes part of you. He comes into you. He lives out his life through you. Scripture says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And the life that I live is not... I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He that eateth me, even he shall live by me. And how? Day by day. That manna was gathered day by day. We must gather our life from Jesus day by day. I want to point you to a scripture in Galatians where it talks about the flesh and the spirit. Galatians 5. Have you ever thought, oh, I just want to be spiritual, but I want to be spiritual right now? You know, you just need to take one day at a time. You can't just get a big spiritual life in a big box and, you know, this is my spiritual life. You live it one day at a time. You yield to the Holy Spirit. You do what the Holy Spirit asks you to do. You obey Him in your one day that you have to live. And you take one step at a time. I want to point you to this scripture, Galatians 6:25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And that word walk is translated take step by step. Amen. In the Spirit. Doesn't that sound easier than I want to just leap, I want to run, I want to gain ground? It's not like that. You take step by step. He gently leads you. He doesn't push you. He doesn't shove you. He doesn't intimidate you, manipulate you. He leads you. And he wants your heart to be so impressionable and tender that just an impression. You know how that's your goal for your children, right? Where you want to be able to look at them, catch their eye, give them a deep, searching and knowing look, and communicate something to them and have them obey that, right? Isn't that your goal? That's our goal. May not always turn out like that, but that's your goal. You want to have a relationship with your child that you can communicate with them and they will know and understand your will without even words. That's your goal. Jesus wants us to live like that. He wants our hearts. He does not want you to have to go ask somebody, is it all right for us to do this? He does not want there to be someone in your life for you to go to and say, tell me if we teach this or not. You know, his real goal is for your heart to be so impressionable that you live by him. You live in the light of His countenance. Lord, is this pleasing to You? Lord, if no one saw me today, I know You're watching me, and I want to be so careful because I'm before You. You know, just the life before the Lord like that, that's what brings the joy. When you follow, I remember the Lord teaching me that and the joy that it brought when I thought, Lord, I know You're pleased. Thank the Lord. This says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk, take step by step in the Spirit. Jesus said, I believe in Mark. Well, let's see. Maybe it's not Mark. No, it's Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. And He said to them all, if any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. If you feel this morning you're not living for the Lord and you just look at it and it's one big, huge, gigantic cross, and you just look at it in terms of, I got to do this the rest of my life. Don't look at it that way. That's not the way the Christian life is. Just begin following the Lord and take up your cross daily. And remember, dear ones, we need to remember this, that a cross is not something to be carried around. A cross is something that you die on. The death that we die, you don't die once and for all and you never need to die again. But you die and you maintain a living death. Is that a paradox to you? That's what it is. It's a daily death. It's a maintenance of denial and self-discipline. Not discipline for discipline's sake, but bearing Christ's cross for Jesus' sake. This is my Lord. This is what He's called me to. This is the cross of crucifixion for me. I am dying with my Lord. See, He's taking, says, our song says, take the cup of tribulation Jesus drank in dying pains. Someone said one time, Jesus drank the whole cup and He left a few drops in the bottom for you and me. But He actually drank the whole cup. And whenever we drink, we're drinking with Him. And we're taking what He took. And He's bearing, He says, take My yoke upon you. Take up My cross. It's Jesus' cross. It's Jesus' yoke. You are never there alone. Christ dies with you. This is a precious, sacred secret. That He enables you. You cannot die on your own, but you submit yourself fully to Him, and He helps you to die. It is a blessing to live for the Lord. Let Him deny Himself and take up His cross daily and follow Me. I'll try to close up here now. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We can't suffer the years of suffering that the Lord wants us. You cannot face it. You cannot handle it. But you can handle one day. And this scripture helps us to see. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16. For which cause we faint not. And that cause is given in the preceding verses. All of these things that He has said here, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're bearing about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus. We have the spirit of faith. We're trusting in Christ. Our life is given to Christ. And then it says, for this cause, or which cause, we faint not. This will help you not to become weary in well-doing. Because you're just looking and you're just trusting and obeying one day at a time. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish. This is speaking of the times of affliction and trouble. bodily. Persecution, perhaps, sickness, where you see the body's going down, you see there's not recovery being gained there. Yet the inward man is renewed day by day. That's how He renews us, is day by day. In our affliction, it says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, it's working for us. It's working for you day by day. It renews you. It's working for you, something in the unseen world you have no idea of. But what was the scripture in Romans 8 where He said, For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Remember that when you suffer for Jesus' sake, it is working for you a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The Lord puts such a value on suffering for Christ. The world does not value it. The world does not understand it. The world will not understand you when you suffer for Christ's sake. Your relatives, anybody that's of a carnal mind who is not taking step by step in the Spirit, as you are, you're on two different wavelengths. They will not understand, and you know they don't understand, and you have pity on them. Friends who are so well-meaning that they don't know. This is Jesus' cross. God puts value on this. He loves this. He blesses me. He's renewing me. He's laying up weights of glory for me. They don't understand. It says, well, we look not at the things which are seen. But you know, there are many people who are looking at only the things that they can see. So we have to understand and pity them. We're looking at the things that are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are... For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I hope this has been a blessing to you. This has helped me so much. I hope that we remember the thought of, let this be a motivation, an inner motivation for your personal duties of prayer and reading, partaking of Christ, because that's where your life is, that's where your grace is. You will not have it. You will not have it unless you do that. You cannot exist living the outward things and expect that to do. It won't do. You look outwardly, you'll look the same, but inwardly, you'll just, miserable. But life isn't meant to be miserable. The Lord meant for us to live in a way where He's bearing us, leading us. We're reigning. We're having grace. We're having strength. We have a refuge at any moment, any time that something comes. We can flee to the refuge at a moment's notice. That's so wonderful. We need that. You need that refuge. What do people do without a refuge? I don't know what they do. But it's so wonderful to have a refuge. There was a song one time written, and I want to share that with you. And the lady that wrote it wrote many gospel songs. She was with her father on a ship, and the ship was tossing in a wave, and a wave came and washed her father overboard. Before her very eyes, washed her father overboard. He was a minister. He was a godly man. I'm sure the thoughts came, why didn't God protect my father? And why did God do this to my father? But she didn't take it like that, but she wrote this song. And the song says, day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no need for worry or for fear. He whose heart is love beyond all measure gives unto each day what He deems best, lovingly,
It's part of pain or pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. That's where that song came from. There are other verses, but I don't trust myself to remember them. But one part says, every day the Lord Himself is with me, with a special mercy for each hour. I'm sure that she found that in that hard trial that she went through of losing her father. There is grace for us. There is more grace for us. There is a happy life for us. There is a life free from worry and fear for us. I am persuaded of it, and I thank God for it.